with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive. It's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside the VSiN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network on this November 11th. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. Michael, obviously a lot to get to with the college football, but obviously to start the show, I mean, we got to honor those who went ahead and served for us and celebrate those on this Veterans Day. Yesterday being Veterans Day observed, I know a lot of people had the time off, but today being November 11th, and obviously honoring those who fought for this country and fought for our freedoms.
Absolutely, Femi. I mean, you know, we honor those before us. That's part of what we need to do all the time and be thankful for the freedom that we have. And then we get to enjoy today, and we get to enjoy football because of it. So, you know, if you see a veteran, anytime I see one, I always thank them going through the security lines of the airports. If you see somebody like that, you always want to thank them because they are serving and they're doing something bigger than themselves, which is the ultimate sacrifice.
No, 100%. And we obviously do honor all those who went ahead and served for our country and who currently are still serving for our country here on this Veterans Day. Obviously, a big day, what we do, big day in college football here. As we got a sweater weather Saturday going on. I got the sweater on. You got, dude, it was cold on the way to work. Like, quote unquote,
cold
for me.
It's 42 here, Femi.
It's 42?
It's 42 here today. Yeah, this morning it's 42. So you get a little bit warmer. It's going to warm up, but the gales of November have started. I wrote about it yesterday in the Vorvisen. This has always been, and it's kind of ironic that this has been something that Harbaugh and a bunch of others of us in the league have always used the wreck of the Emmett Fitzgerald as the date when the NFL season really starts. Tragic that we lost 29 men on that ship that day. On the Lake Superior, but you know, good friend of mine, a longtime special teams coach, Scott O'Brien, he lives on Lake Superior, gave us the history of it. And really the season starts because the gales of November, as Gordon Lightfoot wrote about in that song, you know, do affect teams and they'll affect it moving forward and how you react and how are you going to play. And I wrote a whole column about that. Like when you go through it, you know, you want to fall in love. What team can turn this thing around? Man, it's hard to find one. It really is. And so the weather's changing, and hopefully some teams will change too.
Yeah, we always find them, though, in the NFL, the second half surge. And we had a couple of those teams last year. I mean, the Detroit Lions have sort of carried that over into this season. Pittsburgh was last year. They were able to go ahead and have that second half surge. Jacksonville had one last season as well. So there's always those teams that are kind of below 500 lying in wait. We'll get into that coming up later on this hour and then in the second hour as well. But let's set the table for what we do have coming up over these 2 hours and 15 minutes. Our buddy Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime and the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, he will join us and give out his college football card today on this Saturday. And then in 30 minutes, ESPN draft analyst Matt Miller will join us to talk some of these top prospects. He put out his recent top 50 rankings for the eligible prospects. He ranked the quarterbacks, he ranked the overall players. We'll discuss that with Matt Miller ahead of today's college football slate. And then at 11:30 Eastern, 8:30 Pacific, our buddy Matt Eumanns will be joining us, co-host of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, also host of VSiN Tonight. Matt has a play in Penn State and Michigan, which Michael, that is where we will start, in Happy Valley, where, I mean, this is just a spectacle about what's going on here. Obviously, yesterday, the Big Ten levied out their punishment for Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh. They are prohibiting him from being the head coach on the sidelines for Michigan's final three regular season games. Michigan has since then applied for the temporary restraining order, which right now, currently, we don't know if Harbaugh is going to coach this game or not, because if they are granted the temporary restraining order, he can actually be the coach today in Happy Valley. But Harbaugh's in Happy Valley. He's not with the team. The team has already arrived to Beaver Stadium. No Jim Harbaugh on the bus. But right now, the Wolverines, 4.5-point favorites, total 44.5. Just when you break down this game and also break down the worth of Harbaugh to the point spread, I mean, we can take this in a number of directions, but I'll let you take the first crack at this thing, Michigan, Penn State, later on in a couple hours.
Well, I think let's talk about it from a betting standpoint, from, you know, what is the motivation? You know, what drives teams, right? You know, we know that playing that card that, you know, nobody believes in us is a powerful card, right? We're the underdog. That's a powerful card, too. But the biggest one, perhaps the one that really propels teams more than anything, is it's us against the world. And that's what you have here. And when I was in Michigan this summer in August, I got the sense then that it was us against the world from their players. And they embraced it, and they loved it, and they know they were good. And they liked to be in close games, and they wanted to be in a close game, and they wanted to prove how mentally tough they were. This is all coming from him. This is all coming from the Jim Harbaugh that I know, the most competitive person out there. So this punishment, or they're removing him, they can't remove his spirit. They can't remove the DNA that he's put into this team. There's just no way. Actually, it strengthens it. It really does. I think it fortifies their commitment, their belief. And I think if you thought they were going to have a little bit of a concentration issue or take Penn State lightly, you can forget about that. They're all in on this one. And Penn State is going to have to play really, really good for 60 minutes. Really good for 60 minutes. And they're going to have to beat them because Michigan ain't going anywhere. They might get down 14-0 in this game, but they ain't going anywhere. They're going to keep battling because that's who they are. And this suspension, to me, gives them more motivation than ever.
Yeah, and we saw that yesterday just on Twitter. All the Michigan players almost in simultaneously tweeting the word bet out there, which pretty much is saying, hey, watch this. Like, you guys want to suspend our head coach and you guys want to take shots at our program and say that we're cheating and all this? Well, watch what we do the final 3 weeks of this season. I don't think they will be lacking for any sort of motivation. And even without all of this, I mean, this is kind of like their first real quote unquote test game to where they're playing a team that has similar talent to them. I think they've been looking forward to this contest. Like, not to say that they have dismissed the other opponents, but I mean, they obviously had a leg up in terms of the talent that they had in the coaching. Now they face a team that's directly in front of them in the Big Ten East to where, hey, like, let's go out there and prove it. Like, now we're going to get a nice battle here to where we can go ahead and show the whole country what we're capable of doing. Like, I think we're going to get maximum peak performance here from the Michigan Wolverines today.
Well, I mean, look, you know, we saw Penn State earlier in the year go into Columbus and couldn't convert a third down to save their life, right? They couldn't even get it. Now they're going to face a team that has not allowed more than 14 points the entire season. The entire season. I mean, this is the number one ranked defense in the country. This is the number one ranked total defense in the country. And you could say, well, they haven't played anybody very good. Well, that's good. But, you know, sometimes when you do play less teams and you have a 49-0 lead against Michigan State, you kind of give up yards and that transcends itself. Not the case here. This is the best passing defense that Penn State will face all year. And how they react to it. How does Drew Aller react to it? How are they going to be able to handle it? And so for me, you know, and now you add this layer of competitive nature into it. I think I've felt this since the day I was there. And not because I'm friends with the guy. It's because I could feel it. I could feel it there. I think to me, you want to pet the tiger. You better be careful with how the tiger reacts.
Yeah, I mean, you went on that trip to Ann Arbor earlier this summer, and I remember when you got back, I asked you, I said, oh, like, how do they feel about their team? Like, what would it look like? And you just said, they're going to be really good. Is what you said, they're going to be really good. And that's come to fruition this fall, as they have been the best team, probably, I think, in most people's opinion, the best team in the country. Now they're ranked third in the CFP, just because the resume to this point isn't there. But now they get to show it against other like-minded teams and other teams that are kind of in that class as they take on number 10 Penn State. But on the Harbaugh side of things, because this is, I think, the interesting point from a betting standpoint that we're starting to see kind of manifest itself into the betting market. It's like, what is the worth of an elite head coach? Because Jim Harbaugh clearly was able to get his team prepared this week. They didn't get the news until yesterday afternoon when they touched down in Happy Valley that he was going to be suspended. So like, a lot of the preparation was done for the head coach. Like, how much work is already kind of hay in the barn by the time you get to game day? Like, what does this mean to Michigan going forward this week if he's unable to be the coach, and maybe in the weeks to come as well?
Well, I mean, he's still going to be involved with the game plan. He's still going to set up how they want to do it, right? You know, he's got Maryland and Ohio State left. So he'll be instrumental in those game plans. It's the operation of the game. It's are we in four down territory? Are we going to punt here? Are we going to try a 60-yard field goal like Frank Wright did on Thursday night? Are we going to do something like that, right? That's really the mechanics of the game, watching the flow of the game, how we react to the game. right? What are we doing in those situations? That's really, what adjustments do you need to make? I mean, that's the challenge, right? You know, you see something on the field. Hey, I think we need to get into more of this, or I think we need to do that. Because he's got all his coordinators run the team. They run their side of the ball. His area of expertise is offensive football, which, you know, the play sheet is set up almost mindless. Okay, here's our 3rd and 7 plays we like. Here's our 2nd and 10 plays we like. But the actual feel of the game has to come from the head coach. Okay, this is what I want to do. I really want to take advantage of this here, and let's do that. And I think ultimately, without him there, that becomes the issue. It's the 3 hours of the mechanics of the game, not the game plan.
But one thing that you have said, though, is that oftentimes game management, that's worked on during the week as well. So at least they have some sort of a feel, but they don't have the feel maybe like once they're actually in it of what Harbaugh would do, since he's the experienced head coach.
Well, I mean, it's like, okay, somebody has to determine who's in control and who's in the lead, right? Someone has to do that. And it's not necessarily always the coordinators. And that's the element that you can't prepare for Monday through or Sunday through Friday. You've got to be able to handle that in the game. You know, and you're watching the game. I'm watching the game on my couch. I'm determining who's in control and who's in the lead. And where is this going to go? Like, where are we headed with this? Like, what do they need to do? And, you know, the other thing is sometimes when you have a big third down call, you might say to the play caller, hey, I want our best third down call here.
Yeah.
When it may be the second quarter because you think you can put the game away. You follow me? So that's a little bit of the issue here.
Yeah. Offensive coordinator Sherrone Moore will serve as Michigan's acting head coach if the temporary restraining order is not granted before kickoff. All the storylines with Michigan and Penn State, and we'll get into them with Tim Murray coming up next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, betting guides, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now and get access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120 at VSiN.com/subscribe. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi here on this College Football Saturday. Before we bring in our first guest here on the program, our buddy Tim Murray, this from Brandon Marcello over at 24/7 Sports. The attorney of Jim Harbaugh, Tom Maher, says, quote, expecting the court to make a ruling soon. He believes a ruling on Michigan and Jim Harbaugh's temporary restraining order on the Big Ten will be made before kickoff. So another chapter in this story that we've had going on for the past month or so with Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines. But let's bring in our buddy Tim Murray, who joins us each and every Saturday, host of VSiN Primetime. Check it out, 6 to 9 Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. Also, the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Make sure you get it wherever you get your podcast. Tim, before we get to your plays, this Michigan-Penn State game, all the layers that we have here with Harbaugh, maybe he's going to be running through the tunnel 5 minutes before kickoff. Who knows? Like, how do you even consider even betting this game, or what's the side that you would like here if you wanted to step in front of this Michigan team, or if you want to go ahead and beat up on Penn State?
It's like a soap opera, guys. I mean, and you've got all the players tweeting out last night, bet. And then, you know, Tom Brady's retweeting it. I mean, it is, you know, Michigan against everybody. It is. It's quite the buildup to this game. I'll tell you, I think the happiest people in the world might be executives at Fox, because everybody's going to be tuning in to watch this one coming up at noon Eastern. You know, Femi, it's a great point. I mean, look, we did our podcast on Thursday, the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Humans, in typical Humans fashion, because he loves him some home dogs, as I do normally, he took Penn State. You know, just from the football side of things, I would gravitate towards Penn State. But look, history tells me not to. You know, Jim Harbaugh is 4-15 against Michigan and Ohio State. He's lost 5 straight. Last year, they were flat out bullied by this Michigan team, giving up over 400 rushing yards. You know, let's be honest, though. I mean, the strength of both of these teams offensively were supposed to be their run games. And I would say both have left a lot to be desired. Corum and Edwards for Michigan have not seen themselves. You know, Corum going back to last year, maybe he's still not 100% from the injuries. And then, you know, Singleton and Allen on Penn State, I really believe, guys, these guys would be the two best, you know, the best tandem of running backs in the country. And we just haven't seen the explosiveness. Now, I think some of that can be, you know, credited, so to speak, on the lack of vertical passing game that we've seen from this Penn State offense, Drew Aller and company. So, yeah, it's a very interesting game in this regard, too. I mean, Michigan's got the 111th most difficult schedule. I know that win over UNLV as the Rebels went to 8-2 last night keeps looking better and better. But, I mean, they haven't been tested whatsoever. And Penn State's lone test, you give them a big F. They went on the road to Ohio State and had 6 points until late in that game. So it is a pass for me. Maybe a look to the dog, or excuse me, look to the under, I beg your pardon, just because I feel like this game in so many recent iterations can be you know, a bit more of the slow it down type of slugfest that maybe we saw, you know, between Ohio State and Penn State in October.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I do think they'll slow it down. I mean, the one thing about Michigan that I've been saying this for a while, they just wear you down. I mean, yep. They just wear you down. I mean, they're just they're you know, the Rutgers will play them close for two quarters. They wear it down. And different this year, Tim, for me with this Michigan team is their dominance. I mean, 52 against Minnesota, which made PJ Fleck say that's the best team I've seen since I've been in coaching. And then Indiana, Michigan State, which usually gives them a hard game, that wasn't. And then Purdue at 41-13 with all the conversation about the size. I just think this is a different team. This is a different team, Michigan, this year. And now they have even more of a purpose. But let's talk about Ole Miss, and let's talk about Lane Kiffin. You know, he got stole one last week, I think, from Jimbo, you know, with the win against, you know, against A&M. Kind of that went back and forth. The block field goal kind of changed the game a little bit here. And, you know, now they get Georgia. I kind of feel like Mississippi kind of was beaten up a little bit against Texas A&M, and now they got another physical game. Can they match it this week?
Yeah, I know the rankings say number 9 next to Ole Miss's name, but I'm not thinking this team at this point right now, guys, is a top 10 program or a top 10 team this year, I should say. You know, Georgia's going to get their left tackle back, which was the news that Pete Thamel reported earlier this morning, which is huge for them. You know, this Georgia team, we all know that Brock Bowers won't be there and one of their top linebackers. But yeah, to me, and I know Georgia struggled to put Missouri away last week, but I look at this defense, guys, for Ole Miss, and man, there's a lot to be desired. As you pointed out, Michael, last week against Texas A&M, giving up over 450 yards of offense against a Texas A&M team that, let's be honest, is not really a juggernaut offensively, led by backup quarterback Max Johnson. So, you know, for me, I haven't gotten to the window yet on this game, but as I said on the podcast, it would be favorite or pass, you know, sitting there at 10.5. You know, this is a Georgia team that we all know has struggled to cover games, but let's think back to, you know, the game against Kentucky when everyone kept bringing up, oh, they haven't covered a game yet. They haven't covered a game yet. And they utilized that and won 51-13 against Kentucky. Now, Kentucky is not Ole Miss. Kentucky, I think, is a little bit disappointing this year, but I agree that, you know, you think about kind of the body blow type of effect Ole Miss had last week. You know, they really struggled against Alabama, a physical team on the road there. So, yeah, I think it's Georgia or pass for me on this one tonight.
Yeah, I don't see how Ole Miss is able to stop Georgia the way that Ole Miss has been playing defense this year. We're hanging out with Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime, also the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Let's stay in the SEC East, though. Tim, Tennessee and Missouri over in Como right now at DraftKings. The Vols, 2.5-point road favorites, total 59.
Yeah, I like Tennessee here, and taking a road favorite is kind of against my religion, but I'm going to do it here. you know, Tennessee was a short money line play for me earlier this week. You know, I think anything under 3 is fine. Obviously, you're trending towards that 3 here. You know, what Michael said about Ole Miss, I think is true about Missouri, right? I mean, you're coming off of a really emotional game against Georgia, played your hearts out, played really well, you know, and Luther Burden is going to play, and that doesn't surprise me, but he's banged up, you know. Is he going to be 100%? Luther Burden, the wide receiver from Missouri, if folks haven't seen him, he's electric. He is a phenomenal, phenomenal player. Brady Cook's a solid quarterback as well. But what I like about Tennessee is their ability to run the ball in this game with their three-headed monster in that backfield. So Tennessee, they've been dealing with some injuries, you know, all year long. And, you know, situationally, they kind of had a glorified scrimmage last week, right? They go play UConn. They win by 56. I was asking some folks down there in the Nashville area just how healthy this team is. And, you know, what they had heard was it's the healthiest they've been all year. So I think this is just situationally a really good spot for Tennessee. I think Tennessee has started to figure out the method to success, try to avoid, you know, having Joe Milton kind of slinging it all around, trusting in your running backs, which they've started to do. So I think Tennessee on the road as a small favorite takes care of business here against Missouri. And what I think is, even though, look, the crowd will be up for it, no doubt, and the team will be up for it, but I mean, you come off of a really physical game against Georgia, it's hard to bounce back, in my opinion, and be raring to go against another top 15 team like Tennessee.
Well, Alabama played a great game last week. That was fun to watch, you know, when you see them and you know, when they come back and they feel like they beat Tennessee and do all those things. And now they get, you know, they beat LSU off the bye, and now they get Kentucky, which before they played Mississippi State, they lose 51-13 to Georgia, they lose 38-21 to Missouri, and they lose 33-27 to Tennessee. Now they're an 11-point dog against Alabama. It seems light to me, that line.
Yeah, and this is just one of those sleepy spots why I wouldn't lay the 11 with Alabama, and you know, maybe you look Kentucky first half or something like that, because you know, we were talking about this on VSiN Primetime last night. I believe that Alabama started to hit their groove. I really do. A couple weeks ago, I took a 14-1 on them to win the title, just because I think they're starting to get it right. We saw it last weekend against LSU, the offense with Jalen Milroe. It seems like Tommy Reese is starting to get into his groove as the play caller there for Alabama. The only thing that scares me about this, guys, is the fact that Alabama, coming off an LSU win, the revenge spot from last year, and now you've got an 11 a.m. local game there in Lexington. That's the biggest thing that's kind of holding me back off of Alabama here. I think they're rolling. I think they could really challenge Georgia for the SEC title. But the spot really worries me here, because I'm with you, Michael. I think Kentucky has been a bit overrated and so far this year.
All Saban has to do is play the clip from the CFP ranking show that says Texas would be in ahead of Alabama because of head-to-head. That's all you got to do to motivate those guys and get them ready to go. He is Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime and the College Football Betting Podcast. Tim, good luck with the bets. We'll talk to you next week.
Great job, Tim. You guys. Thank you.
Awesome. We'll break down more of the marquee college games coming up next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Timmy Abefefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find, only at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly. Be 21. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi. We just had Tim Murray on in the last segment, host of VSiN Primetime and the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Tim rolling with Tennessee on the money line. He also likes, in a fun game in the Big 12, he likes UCF +2.5 against Oklahoma State. The Cowboys coming off of the big win in Bedlam last Saturday against Oklahoma. That's always a fun game down there. The last Bedlam that we'll see for the foreseeable future with all the conference realignment stuff. But that's some of Tim's plays here for college Saturday. But we do have the breaking news that came in from ESPN's Pete Famel. This is an update on Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh. He said that there will be no ruling today in Jim Harbaugh's request for a temporary restraining order. According to a person familiar with the court filings, this means Jim Harbaugh will not coach at Penn State today. And they also said the person familiar with the court filings tells ESPN there's an in-person hearing on November 17th. So that will be next Friday for 9 a.m. So no Harbaugh on the sidelines today in Happy Valley, and then I guess we'll figure this out next week if they can go ahead and have him as the head coach or so on the sidelines. But that's the latest right now with Michigan and Jim Harbaugh. Michael,
can he be with his team after the game, or is he just cannot be with the team just Saturday? He can be with them Sunday through Monday, Friday.
So I believe he just.
I mean, so does he have to fly back? Does he have to fly back to Ann Arbor now? I mean, what does he do? Does he not be around his team? I mean, that's an interesting thing. I mean, because we know he's in state college because he was preparing himself with this injunction that he was going to coach the team.
Yeah.
And who's watching the game with him? You know, I'm sure if I were Jim, I would want to make sure somebody's watching the game with me that can verify that I am not having any communication with the sideline, because you know that's going to get accused. You know somebody's going to say something there, you know. I would want to make sure. I would want it not to be anybody from Michigan. I want it to be just John. You know, Femi, you could go do it. I mean, you go do it. You fly sit with
out.
Him.
Fly me out to have
him. Yeah, Femi, yeah, I'm sitting next to Jim Harbaugh here. He's not, I promise he's not doing anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? You can watch four games. You two can watch four games together. Be perfect.
I'll say, I have Harbaugh's phone, so I know he's not contacting the sidelines.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, and they, you would be believed because you don't have a relationship. This way, you can't lie on that one.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. You can watch the Rutgers Iowa game and see if it goes over 30. I mean, that would be perfect, right?
30. I mean, we're down to like 27 and a half in that one.
It was 27 and a half this morning. I just went to 30 because I feel like, okay, you know, that's a number, right? I mean, can they go any lower? Seriously.
It is unbelievable. Like, it's the lowest recorded like, total on records over the last 30 years in college football. 27 and a half is the total in that game. And then conversely, in the Pac-12 After Dark game, we have Oregon USC with a total of 77, which is the highest so far this season.
What a weird week. We have this 27 and a half under here in the game. And then we have a 5-win team in the NFL that's 17 and a half point favorites against another team. Like, okay, I get when the 07 Patriots were humming, they got numbers, right?
Yep.
I get when the greatest show on turf was humming and some of these great teams that we've had, the 49er great teams. But we're talking about a 5-3 team here, right?
Yeah.
And there's 16 and a half point or 17 and a half point, and it might go to 18 by, I mean, what a weird weekend, right?
Welcome to Tommy DeVito. The country will be introduced to Tommy DeVito in America's
I went through Tommy DeVito's numbers, not to jump ahead of this, but just FYI, if you're interested in this at all, if you want to, I went through Tommy DeVito's collegiate career yesterday on my day off. And, you know, and it's kind of. Yeah, well, I wanted to go through and see if it was something that, you know, what do we, like, how many games did he actually throw the football effectively in, right? And what did he do? Mm-hmm. And was he able to do anything? So I went through it, and he's had three games of over 300 yards. I think he had 11 games of where he threw for over 200 yards, and he had most of the games were under 200, and he had 11 under 100 yards. Now, here's the thing, if you want to bet the Giants. He only had three games of throwing three interceptions. And I think he had five games of two interceptions, and mostly it's one or less. But to me, it's a risky proposition with Bet and Tommy DeVito.
No, I think that's a stay away game for me. If anything, if I had to bet the game, I think I'd just lay it, just because when Dallas plays these inferior opponents, they tend to really bully them. I mean, the Cowboys, in four of their five wins, they've covered this number 17 and a half. So that just goes to show you, like, when they get on a team, it can really snowball fast. So I would not go ahead and take those points there because, yeah.
And no, one more thing, just for the record, Tommy was 22-17 as a starter.
Well, he's got a lot of experience, I guess. He'll be making his first start, and it will be a record 10th rookie quarterback, NFL history, a record 10th rookie quarterback starting in a game. And we're only at week, 10? So. Hey, yeah. Wonder why scoring's down.
If we can find more rookies, there'll be more rookies starting. There's no question.
Yeah. Wonder why scoring's down this year in the NFL. But back.
Well, you know what else is down too? What else is down too? When you think about it is, and I know we want to get on the college football, but 21% of these games this season have been decided by this year. Just so we keep this in perspective, through nine games this year, there have been fewer close games than at any point in the past decade.
Oh.
And it's trending down from last year, too. So last year, it was trending down. But this year, 21% of the games have been decided by 3 points or less. Last year, that number was 29. 49% by 7 or less. Last year, that number was 53. And 57 by 10 or less. And that last year, that number was 67. Last year, we had 43-point games in the first 9 weeks. This year, we only have 28. So there is an imbalance, and I think this is why the public is doing so well on betting games.
And I think that also speaks to decision-making as well. because if you're passing up 3 points, or if you're going for it on fourth down and you get stopped or something like that, like then maybe the other team can build a double digit lead when, like, yes, in terms of the box score and yardage, the game was close, but then the scoreboard will reflect something else because, hey, like, you're not doing the conventional wisdom thing of, like, all right, kick the field goal, keep it a one score game, and do those kinds of things. I think that kind of speaks to what, like, the shift that we've made in coaches making decisions and what they've been doing there. So I think it's all very interesting there. And also maybe that's why we've seen some of these favorites go ahead and cover, because a lot of these end up being high leverage to where if they do get the fourth down, maybe the dog just wins outright. But if they don't get the fourth down, the dog doesn't cover and they lose by like 10, 11 points. Like, I think that's what we're seeing.
I agree with that. And I think I think it also proves that we have a generation of coaches that hate 3 points. And so therefore that's why there's less 3 point games.
Yeah, 100%. Maybe 3 is no longer a key number. Maybe it's no longer a key number. In college football, though, we talked about it. The Georgia Bulldogs, 2-time defending national champions, they're laying 10.5 against Ole Miss, total 58.5. Tim Murray, he gave his thoughts on it in the last segment. Doesn't have a play, but I think he would lean towards Georgia based on his analysis. Is that where you would go as well with this game here with the Bulldogs, who I don't think Brock Bowers is coming back, but they talked about him practicing this week. Maybe he comes back sooner than we all thought.
Well, I mean, home game for Georgia, right? So that's going to be hard. Mississippi, to me, Jackson Dart takes a beating, right? Jackson Dart takes a beating. And he gets punched around. I mean, they don't do a really good job of protecting him. And, you know, they went up and down the field against Texas A&M, and they moved the ball. They won the game. He made plays critically that he needed to make. But to me, he took a beating. And defensively is where I would be concerned. And I think Georgia understands how to attack this team. And then in the kicking game, Mississippi is not very good. They're one of the worst net punting teams in the country. And their efficiency, when you look at them on third down offense, they're 96th in the country. Third down defense, they're actually 86. So when you're playing in these games and you can't make chunk plays, it becomes a little bit of a problem. And you've got to play 60 minutes of consistency. I don't see it. I think, to me, this is a Georgia game. I know Missouri was a tough game. I get that. But to me, Georgia's always up for a tough game. They like it, and they bounce, and they'll play better the next week because Kirby raises the level of play.
And we also haven't seen Lane Kiffin really keep his team competitive in these kind of big games. Like he was kind of having fun with the Alabama and Coach Saban and stuff before that game. They don't cover. They lose that one by a couple touchdowns. Like, it feels like Kiffin sort of, it's a little bit too much bark and not enough bite in these games. So I wouldn't take the points there. It would be Georgia or pass the game. Maybe the over, honestly, is the play. Like, if you like Georgia, because, like, I think Georgia's going to get to 40 in this game. And let's say that.
Oh, I think so, too. Like, I think Georgia's going to score. Yeah, I do, too.
I think over 58.5, I think, would be kind of how you play it. If you don't want to lay 10.5, because obviously that's a lot to be laying in a conference game. But over 58.5, I think, is a solid look there. How about the up in my neck of the woods, Washington and Utah? The Utes are catching about 8.5, I think, at last check there against Washington. Huskies bouncing back or coming back off of the strong offensive performance against USC last Saturday there. Any early thoughts on this one? Utah, Washington, contrasting styles in Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, I think, to me, what I love about Washington's team is I know that they've been in a lot of tight games, but, and, you know, last week they gave up 42 points, and against Stanford they gave up 33. And Oregon, you know, that was a tough nail-biting game. But I do believe that this team is good enough. I mean, they're the 15th best third down offense in football. They're they can control the ball and keep it away. I'm not sure Utah can keep pace with them. I think Penix plays well today. I really do.
Yeah, it's hard to see Utah scoring, but Utah's physicality, though, might bring this game into a phone booth. I'm curious to see how that plays out. 3:30 Eastern is that kickoff. We'll talk more college football in hour number two, but coming up next, all the news and notes from around the National Football League.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. Michael Lombardi in the great state of New Jersey. Femi Abebefe hanging out here in downtown Las Vegas here on this college football Saturday. We will get back to our college football thoughts coming up in hour number two. Matt Eumanns, host of VSiN Tonight and also the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. He will join us at 11:30 Eastern, 8:30 Pacific to give out his college football card as well as his NFL thoughts. But let's give our NFL thoughts, Michael, on some of the news and notes from around the league, starting with the Frankfurt-Germany game. Our last international game of the season, Colts at the Patriots. Well, I guess at quote unquote Patriots. It's a home game for them over at Deutsche Bank Park in Frankfurt. But right now it's a 2-point spread. Colts are the favorites, 43 the total. And a lot of the conversation this week has been about the job security, about the head coach, Bill Belichick. And I'll just put it simply for our audience out there, Ness, and everybody is curious to get your thoughts on this. Do you think that Belichick is coaching for his job this Sunday?
I don't know why or how. I mean, you know, you got six Super Bowls. This year is not very good. I'm not denying that to anybody, right? But there is a history of being really good at what you do. And I think he'll continue to be very good at what he does. And so if Mr. Kraft feels like the direction of the team needs to go somewhere else, that's his call. But I don't know where you're going to find a better coach than Bill Belichick. I really don't. And I'm not saying that because I'm his friend. I'm saying that because I've watched other coaches. And I think every other coach in the league would say the same thing. Everybody would say, if he gets fired in the midseason, wow, this league has really turned upside down. Because what has the, you know, I know you're only as good as your last game, but you've got to feel like, okay, there is a pattern of success here. Now, it hasn't happened over the first couple seasons. It's not all Mac Jones's fault. I'm not suggesting that either, because one of the things you can't do when you're evaluating teams is label it one thing, right? When you label it one thing, then there's an absence of accountability and discipline. That's usually what happens. People that want to just blame one thing is you're trying to absolve yourself of accountability and you show no discipline. I'm not saying that at all. The offensive line has not been good. We now know that their offensive line coach has had to leave because of health issues. And I think they're legitimate health issues. I think all during the year, he's had a missed time because of these health issues. Adrian Clem I'm talking about. So that's a concern. And the line has been one of the most disappointing factors of their team. They won't have Trent Brown over in Europe either. He's not healthy enough to play. Connor McDermott will have to start at left tackle again. There's a kid that they cut earlier in the year. They had to bring him back to play left tackle because they've got so many injuries. So do I think he's coaching for his Patriot job? No, I don't. But I do acknowledge wherever there's smoke, there often is fire.
Which means, do you think that obviously if they play the year out, this could be a split between Belichick and the Patriots at the end of the season, I guess? Because I think that's going to be the conversation.
As I said on the pod, I said this on the pod, and I think it's kind of look, most of the time, when you are trying to solve problems, it isn't what you, it's the question you ask determines really whether you can solve the problem. So really, I mean, the question that Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, must ask himself is, can the man who's won six Super Bowls be the man to help rebuild this team and find the right quarterback if they actually acknowledge that Mac isn't the right quarterback? And maybe they think Mac just needs to get coached. Maybe they think he needs a better coach. This is the second coach, the third coach he's had in 3 years. Maybe they feel that way. But how you frame the question often is leads you to the correct answer. When you frame the question wrong, you end up with a bad decision.
I think that's a good way to put it there. Obviously, there's some struggles. The Patriots' worst record in the AFC here, like the 2-7, it has not been good. Now they find themselves as a 2-point underdog on a neutral site game in Germany. You mentioned the pod. We encourage everybody to go ahead and subscribe, rate, and review wherever they get their podcast to the GM Shuffle. Mondays and Thursdays, new episodes drop each and every week. Well, let's get to some of the other storylines around the National Football League. One being Kyler Murray making his return to the Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray has been activated from the 21-day window. He's now on the 53-man roster, and he is good to go and starting this game against Atlanta. And right now, the Cardinals are 2-point home underdogs, total at 44. Kyler, though, had this to say earlier this week when he was asked about his offensive coordinator, Drew Petzig, saying, hey, maybe Kyler might not be a full go, but here's what Kyler had to say in his own words about his status heading into this game.
He told me that to my face, and I kind of laughed at him. But it's I understand the thought process, you know. But every time I touch the field, I'm trying to do my thing, and that's, obviously win, you know. But do it at a high level, you know. And I understand the thought process behind, you know, hey, take it slow, you know, don't be too hard on yourself. Because I missed all the reps, you know, I missed all the camp reps, I missed all preseason. This is week, 9, 10, whatever it is, you know, I've missed all this time, you know, sort of go into it thinking that, I hear what he's saying, but, you know, that's not in my, you know, that's not in my head, so.
Kyler says that he can be the full Kyler, so maybe all the beat plays will be back in the flesh here for the Arizona Cardinals. But what are you excited to see about or expecting to see with Kyler Murray making his return Sunday afternoon?
Well, I want to see if he's got quickness, if he's got that acceleration, if he still has that same kind of giddy up to him that he had. And look, Atlanta needs this game more than any team. They could be in the midst of the South if they just win this game. If they can just get this game won, they can be there. And look, the one thing we do know, they're going to move the football on the Cardinals. That I think is fairly given. And I think Heinicke, you know, it's not going to be a hard coverage for him, because here's why. The Cardinals are one of the worst teams in terms of pressuring the opponent quarterback. They only pressure the quarterback 17% of the time. That's 30th in the league. They give up more first downs than any team in the league. You know, EPA yards per play, I mean, horrible. Same thing with their opponents. Everything is bad, right? And so they're going to move the football. It's, can they create a situation to keep Murray in the pocket and make him play pocket passer? Now, is James Conner going to come back? It didn't sound like he was trending there. It sounds like he's getting closer, but maybe he does. But I think if I'm Atlanta, I'm gonna go after him and make him prove that he can do it. And does he have any rust on him? I mean, it's not easy to go from no contact to no preseason and jump right in. Just ask Deshaun Watson. I mean, he's missed football for over a year. It's hard.
Yeah, no, that's a good point there. And it's like, because like he hasn't gotten the reps and he's been practicing the last handful of weeks, but we knew that a lot of those reps were going towards whether it was Clayton Tune or Josh Dobbs before they traded him. It hasn't been a full go of first team reps, but he got those reps this week. We'll see what he's like. They're now having to see the field.
And the other thing you're worried about too, Femi, is you're worried about him pulling, you know, when these guys come back off of injury, you're worried about him, especially a guy like Murray, you're worried about him pulling a hamstring. You're worried about him getting out there and all of a sudden, you know, he's not quite there. And you worry a little bit about going too far too soon. Now, he says he's going to go 100%. He's going to go out there and play. I think he knows he's playing for that future earnings that's booked on the contract, which is not a great contract for the Cardinals. And I think to me, this is, I mean, just look at Jonathan Gannon's timeline of what he said. You know, I don't think he wanted to trade Dobbs. You know, because he said Dobbs is going to be the starter. Then he said, when I watch tape, I'm going to go. Then they go to Cleveland with Tune. I mean, that was coaching malpractice to put Tune out there against the Cleveland defense. And then they come back, and now they're going to start Murray. And Atlanta, look, Atlanta's a good third down defense. They don't rush the passer as well. They don't intercept the football. But I think it's going to be hard for them to move the ball consistently on them because they can A, cover. Terrell's a really good cover guy. And I think Atlanta's going to move the football on them.
We'll see how this one unfolds tomorrow afternoon. Real quick, though, because this note is, I was talking with our producer, Elliot Bowman, with this last night, and we talked a little bit more about it this morning. This week, the Cardinals are among three teams that will have a third different quarterback starting in three consecutive weeks. And also, we have 9 QBs this week, Michael, in week 10 that have 10 or fewer starts in the NFL. Like inexperience and QB shuffling has been kind of the story of this season here. And it's kind of like what we talked about in the last segment about, hey, scoring being down and all this stuff. Like, it just feels like offensive football is sort of in flux.
And I think that's why the public's having a really good year, because oftentimes, like, you don't want to be on the side of the public on some of these bets, but perhaps this year it's been rewarding. It's been 57% when you're on the side of the public, you know? And so, look, the other thing that's happened a lot this year is underdogs that go to favorites. And there, everybody thinks that's a good thing. Although when you look at it since 2019, that record is 45-84. The Lions went from dogs to favorites. The Saints, the Bucks, the Colts, the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, the public having a good year. I mean, a lot of people were just back in Cleveland last week that goes from 7.5 to 13. I talked to Mike Palm yesterday. He said that people were taking the plus 13, some of the sharper bettors. Well, I mean, within 5 minutes, you knew that that wasn't going to hit with Arizona Cardinals last week in Cleveland. All right, that does it for hour number one. Hour number two, the Lombardi look ahead coming up next.